So tonight I would say the title would be something like Living 2018 with a Purpose. So we're getting ready. Of course, we've got Christmas coming up. But a good time to start thinking about the new year is towards the end of another year. I love this time of year. It's one of my favorite things because you get that, we tend to take the week off between Christmas and New Year's, and it gives you that time to reflect over the past year. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything, you have a chance to reflect, and thankfully there's usually more good than anything else. And you just look back and you see the hand of God, how that He has molded you and shaped you and changed you and made you able to do what you're doing today. And it's just amazing to see how much of a difference one year can make in our lives. And then we begin to look forward towards the next year. And tonight I want to just talk about, let's go into it on purpose. Let's not just let a year come and go. Let's do it with a purpose. What is the purpose of 2018? What is the point? Because those of us that are getting older realize that these years just keep speeding up. You know, when I was 5, 1 year was like 10 now. You know, you just don't have a lot of life to compare it with, and so it just seems like it takes forever until the next Christmas, you know? And now it's like, really? I can remember last Christmas so vividly. It's already here again. And it just, you know, so what would be the purpose of 2018 for us? And so if you open your Bible to Mark 16, 15 and 16, it's important for us to be focused, not just to let life kind of maneuver us around, not just to be reactionary, that, oh, this came up, so I'm going to go do this, and then, oh, this came up, and so I'm going to go do that. No, what is it actually that God would have for us? It says that He knew us when we were in our mother's womb. There was a plan and a purpose for our lives from before we were even born. There was something specific that He had for us to do. And it is valid and it is vital and it is important. And without you, He is lacking. He cannot do on earth things that He wants to do if He does not have people willing to do it. And so each and every one of us are very important in this race that we have. And Jim has spoken on it, and if you haven't heard these messages, he spoke on running your race, and it was amazing. He was talking about how I'm not in competition with any of you. My race is my race. I'm in my own lane. I don't have to be worried that Janet is doing certain things because, you know what? That's what her race looks like. My race looks like this. And so we don't have to be like the world is, trying to get to be the top. No, we all get to be the top. We all get to be doing something that is so important. For some people, it may be in front. For other people, it may be behind the scenes. And you know what? That's one of the things about the diversity of God. Some don't want to be in the front. And some don't want to be in the back. And so thank God we're all different because we need each and every part. And so we want to look at 2018 and what is the purpose? What is the point? You know, you see people all the time, they're running and they're looking. Society, the point is to have the most money when you die. You know, the biggest, best, the greatest job, the more power, the more, you know, rah-rah, let's get to the moon. You see, that is some, you know, that's something that I see in the private sector. It seems like some of them are trying to figure out how to get to the moon and make it a business to take people to the moon and to Mars and to everywhere else. But you know what? That is not the main point of life. Sure, if you want to go and you feel like that's God's plan, great, hop on one of those rockets and go to the moon. Okay, that's not a big deal. We can enjoy things, we can have hobbies, but what is the purpose? What is the point of our lives? Why were we created? Why aren't we just in heaven enjoying Jesus's company right now? There's got to be a reason why we are here. There must be a point for us being here. And Mark 16 is the Great Commission, verses 15 and 16. It says, "And then he told them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned.'" That is first and foremost our purpose. And yet that is so easy to have that over on the back burner. Now, because we are all so diverse, it looks different for each and every one of us. You know, what does living our lives in front of people as a witness to them look like? There are some people that try to force it, and it's not really them. And they may go door to door and knock on someone's door, and it's more annoying than it is a benefit for God. Now, there are other people that could go door to door, and they could touch the majority of the people that they're knocking on the door. But we're not all called to knock on someone else's door. And thank God, because I'm not really comfortable with that. You know, that's okay for some people to do, because that is what they're gifted at and they have a heart for it, and it's them and it's natural. And it doesn't come off forced and weird, because it's who they are and they can do it, and it works. And then there's other things that God, you know, there's some people that they can talk to just anyone. You know, they can go on the street and they can say hi to each and every single person. And in Boston, that's a big deal, because there's a lot of people. And not all of them are friendly. And so to have the gift to be able to just go up to someone you don't know and just say hi, I mean, that's a huge gift. That is enormous. But you know what? Not everyone's like that. Then there are some people that are quieter behind the scenes. And you know what? They would be the type that their light is shining and they just maybe are sweet. And somebody just all of a sudden sits next to them and gushes their whole life story. Just says, "I need help." And this sweet, quiet person has the answer because they know Jesus. So it looks different for each and every one of us. What is our purpose? What does this look like for us? What are we supposed to be doing? How are we supposed to be reaching our world? And you know, even as a church, I mean, there's probably 50 different ways in a book, in different books, of how you can go about and grow your church. There are so many different ideas out there, but you know what? If it's not you, it doesn't work. I can't tell you how many churches I've seen that have tried the flashy, kind of like the disco lights and all this kind of stuff during praise and worship, and you know what? It wasn't them. It didn't come off natural. It didn't come off as really the heart of that congregation. And that's not trying to be judgmental. I'm just saying there are some people that they can do that and they can get away with it because it fits them. It's the way their church is. And God can bless it because they're doing what God has for them to do. So when we don't want to copy people for the sake of copying. We want to figure out what it is that God has for us to do, take that, and run with it. You know, if we understand that there's a specific purpose that we're here on life to accomplish, it helps us to wake up and not dread the day. If we dread the day, we are not really trusting that there was a purpose for us that day. And so it really helps you to be happy and to be looking forward to a day when you realize, you know what? God wants to use me somehow today. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but he wants me to be used by him today. And so if you go into the day looking like that, number one, you're going to be more enjoyable to be around, and then maybe someone will want to talk to you because you've got that smile on your face and you're at peace with life and you have something that they don't have. And so they're drawn to you. And so God can open doors just because we are happy with the day. Just because we want to be alive that day and we want to be others focused rather than self-centered, thinking about our woes and our troubles for that day. And so we want to focus. What is it that God has us doing and what does he want us to do? If you're not dead, you have a purpose. You are not too old to have a purpose. If you were not supposed to have a purpose anymore, then there was no need for you to still be alive. So the fact that you're still alive means that there is stuff for you to do. So you can't go easy. You can't go light. You can't go check out and just sit on a park bench and, you know, shoo the pigeons away. No, you have a point. There is something. There is still, your race isn't finished. There is something that is important where you are necessary. So what is that? We have to, number one, it's seeing, it's reaching the lost. How many of us have family, have friends, have co-workers, different people? You know, it may not even be that we're supposed to be the ones telling them about Jesus. It may be that we're the ones that's supposed to be praying for laborers to cross their path. Maybe they won't hear it from us, but they would hear it from someone else. But it's our job to pray. Pray for that person. Let's look at Philippians 3:14. Your purpose cannot be to make money. You may make a lot of money, and God may use that. Maybe you are made to be a good business person and be able to give to the kingdom work, to be able to finance things. Yes, there is that element, but to make money cannot be the purpose. The goal of I have to have money, 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 money. That can't be our focus. Our focus has to be on what God is doing in us and through us. And as we do that, he will begin to show us what areas to do. So if we have a job, our purpose is to be a light at our job. So it's really hard to be a light at your job if you hate your job. So you have to figure out where am I in the job I'm supposed to have? If I'm in the job that I'm supposed to have, then I need to figure out how to enjoy it. If this is where I'm supposed to be, God did not set me up to be miserable day in and day out. That was not his plan. He did not say, okay, you know what? The purpose of Brianna's life is to be miserable every single day. So I'm going to give her a job that she completely hates, that she can't stand. And then we'll just see how long she can serve me doing it. You know, I would never, as Brianna's mom, I would never want her to have that kind of a job. How much more would God not want us to have that kind of a job? So we need to figure out if this is not what God has me to be doing, then I need to find the job that he wants me to have. But if it is the job that I'm supposed to be having, then I need to figure out what I need to change. Do you know that sometimes God keeps us in places because He is shaping us? He is developing things in us. And we can just throw our hands up in there and say, oh, it's too hard, I can't do it, and just be miserable. Or we can say, okay, if this is where I'm supposed to be and it's this hard, then God can show me how to do it. I obviously am capable of doing it, otherwise He wouldn't have me in this job. And so then we begin going into this day saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If He has me in this job, I can do it. I'm well capable. I can do this. And do you know what? When you begin to do that, you are at peace and your light begins to shine very brightly. Because more than likely, there's other people at your work that are miserable. And so you look different. You're one of the not miserable ones. And so that's how we as Christians, we are supposed to look different. It's so easy to be critical about everything. It's always easy to find something that's wrong. And part of that is because your boss isn't like you. And so they're going to do things differently than you do it. And your teacher is going to be different than you. And you know what? They're going to say things and you're not always going to understand. But thank God you are not limited to their ability to teach or their ability to direct the job. You have God Almighty. And so do you know, I have noticed, God put this thing on my heart, become a part of the solution, not the problem. Become a part of the solution. I'm telling you, the world is crazy in some ways. And so, you know, it's just really easy to say, well, they do it like this. Can you believe that? And it's just getting so much worse. And just jump onto that bandwagon. And it's so easy because you can find a lot of people that will jump on it with you. But if you will look at it as like, Lord, help me to be a solution, not the problem. You become the problem when you jump on the bandwagon. When you be the critical naysayer of the school or of the job or of people in general. But when you go into it saying, help me to be the solution. Lord, how can I be the solution to this situation? Open doors. It may not happen right away. But as you begin to pray that, you will begin to see God is able, he's beginning to be able to work on your behalf. And He will put you into strategic places that you are necessary. And people will begin leaning on you because you're important, because you are a problem solution finder rather than just a problem finder. And so we want to look at this as how, if we're at work, if we're at school, how can I be the one that is, that people are looking to as the light? How can my light shine in this area, in this circumstance? So Philippians 3:14 says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, we have this race that we, each and every one of us, are a part of. And it looks different for each and every one of us. And all of us have different jobs and different people that are crossing our paths. So it looks different, but we are supposed to press on. Press on. Press on doesn't mean that you sit idly and wait for something to happen. Press on means that you do something about it. It means that you put your hand to the plow. It means that you go, and look, it doesn't mean that it has to be hard, but it doesn't mean that you just sit. It means you are actively looking, you are finding out, what is it that God has for me? It means that sometimes you have to face your fear. Sometimes it's fear that causes us to sit. not wanting to be rejected. So it's easier to just say, grumble, 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 and just do the same old thing every single day, rather than pressing on and finding out, what is it that God really has for me to be doing in this job? What should I be doing? What should I take that promotion? Should I be doing stuff? Yes, sometimes it's easier not to take the promotion, but sometimes it's better for us to take the promotion because it's getting us into a position that God is molding and shaping us for what He has for us to do. What's the point of our life? A lot of times we can be so used in a church because of what we've learned on the job. We've honed skills. We have different things. And then God can use that in numerous ways in the body of Christ. So Philippians 2:16, I'll just have you listen to this. It says, hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. I think that would be one of the saddest things, is to come to the end of your life and your work was useless. You know, I don't care it, you know, if you have $5 billion in the bank, if your work was useless because you weren't doing what God had for you to do. Now, I don't think that's here. I think we are all endeavoring to do to the best of our ability what God has for us to do. Otherwise, we wouldn't show up on a Wednesday night. So I think our heart is hungry to do what He has for us. But 1 Corinthians 3, if you want to go there, we'll start at verse 11. When we finish our race, the house we live in, the car we drive, the clothes we wear, the food we eat, none of that will be of value to us in heaven. That's not the thing that's going to make a difference when we go to heaven. Because you know what? There's going to be nicer houses in heaven. I mean, we're going to be walking on gold. I mean, nothing that we can strive to attain here on earth is going to compare to heaven. So why put all this energy into something that is not really necessarily all that important to God? Now, God doesn't mind if we have it, but you can see, I mean, I know if your focus is not God, it is so easy to be focused on money and wealth and prestige and all those kind of things, and that is not going to go with you to heaven. And so, yes, you can have money, you can have different things, because you know what? If we were all billionaires in here, we would all be giving to the kingdom of God. And we would have a lot of money to be able to give, and a lot of stuff would get done. So it's not a problem having the money, but it's not the focus. That's not what we're after. So 1 Corinthians 3:11, we'll start there. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. That's it. So it's not some TV show that is really fun, that everyone's watching, that doesn't really have godly values to it. That's not the focus. The focus is Jesus Christ, which means we show up to the house of God, which means when He says, do this, we say, okay. Which means when we work, we give part of our hard-earned money to the kingdom of God because He's what's important to us, not things. And so anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So we want to be focused in 2018 on the things that will withstand the fire. That means When we go to heaven, who are we taking with us? Souls. People. That's what we're taking. And so that is our focus. That is, we are pressing on in our job, in our workplace, with our families. We are pressing on because our job is to take as many people with us as we can. Now, there may be some people that they take 1,000 because that's the type of ministry that they are, and they're one of the seen people. And then there may be some people that they take 10. And that 10 is so important to God that there is a reward. I believe one of the best rewards we can have when we reach heaven is to see our family. That is the ultimate. You know, it didn't matter how much money we had. When we get to heaven, we don't have that with us. But having our family, that is amazing. That is amazing. And guess what? Even if your family isn't living for God right now, your race isn't done. You're still alive. There's a reason you're still alive. And you know, it's because of that that we fight the good fight of faith. We endeavor to live as long as we can in the health that we have been, that Jesus paid for us. We endeavor. You know why? Because we're trying to take as many people with us as we can. We want to live, Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, you die, that's awesome. You're in heaven. But to live means that you are still pushing forward, that God isn't finished with your work, that there's still people that your life is going to cross and you are going to be affecting their lives. And it's so important that we don't give up. We don't have a day to waste. We don't have time to waste. Who cares? When we get to heaven, that thing that's making us so depressed, is it really going to matter? No. What is going to matter is who's with us. Who's with us? Who's alongside of us? You know, we can get so caught up in tunnel vision on things that are so insignificant. And yet God says, this is the important thing. Tell as many people as you can. And you know, our race is going to look different. Jesus died when he was 33. It looked different. And yet he had fulfilled the plan of God and he laid his life down. They didn't take it from him. They didn't murder him. He laid it down because he knew that was the plan of God for him at that moment to do. And it wasn't easy. Sometimes the plan of God is not easy. But that doesn't mean we get depressed about it. That doesn't mean that we get all up in arms about it. That means that we press. We press forward. We press through it. And we believe Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. If this is, yes, and it is through Christ who strengthens me. It's not, I can do all things. No, because in and of ourselves, all of us have had things that we're like, there is no way I can do this. I'm not capable. And yet, somehow, a year later, we're looking back saying, oh God, you were there. You helped me through and I made it. And I'm the better for it because now I can do that and more. Because you are growing me up. We should be growing. We should be getting stronger. We should be able to do more in different things. We talked about that another time, is that, you know, as you get older, you may not be able to do things physically that you could do when you were 20, but you can do it smarter. And so you don't need sometimes the strength that you needed when you were 20 because you're smarter. And so we have to figure out what it is that God has for us. Let's use our brains. Let's use our muscle. Let's use everything that He has given us, and let's succeed. Let's make 2018 on purpose. Let's go into it saying, you know what? We've been praying. Every seat is filled. Every seat is filled. And you know what? This year, we have seen an enormous increase. Thank God, you know, it was on Jim's heart to start having the ushers take account for several reasons. But if we had not had that count, we would not have realized what all God has been doing. He has been miraculously doing stuff in the lives of us and crossing people across our paths and bringing them into the church. And it has been amazing. It's just awesome to be that. One other thing that I want to just end on is that we can pray that God will help us to do His will for that day. We can pray at the beginning of a day. We can pray at the beginning of the week. What's the plan for the week? We can pray at the beginning of a month. What's the plan for this month? What's the focus of this month? At the beginning of a year, what's the focus of this year? If we go into it with a purpose, with what is the focus, what do I get so much more done when I go into the day thinking I want to get A, B, and C done. If I just wait and let life happen, by the end of the day, I'm like, oh, there was nothing that I really wanted to get done that got done. But when you go into it with God's help, Lord, what do you have me to do? He will show you. And so the one of the wonderful things that He did for us is He said in Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As we pray in the Spirit, we are praying out what the day holds, what the week holds, what the month holds, what the year holds. We want to go into the ending of this year praying and believing that God's purpose, that His will be done, and that it will be revealed to us, that we know what we are doing, so that when we hit January 1st, we are focused. This is where I may not know what I'm supposed to do February 1st, but January 1st, I'm focused on what January 1st holds. And I just keep praying. Brother Hagin would say from time to time that praying in the Spirit is like laying railroad tracks out in front of you. You are praying out where you are going. It is so much easier than, you know, being out in the wilderness and you're trying to push something that hasn't been plowed. But when you have plowed through something through prayer, it makes it easier because you know where you're going. It's laid out in front of you. And so we want to go into the end of the year and going into this next year, praying, allowing, you know, Jim has spoken on being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That was so important that Jesus told His disciples and His mother and 120 people, don't you even think about going and doing anything for me until this gift has come. It is so vital. It is so important because it does a number of things, but one of the things it does is it prays the will of God. It allows us to know where we're going, what we're doing, and to stay focused on what He has for us. So I believe 2018 is going to be our best year yet. It may not look like 2017, like 2016 or 15, but it's the best year yet, because when we finish 2018, we are going to have seen the hand of God on our life, and we are going to, when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, 2018, that was a good year. That was a well done, good and faithful servant. You know, he counts faithfulness. And if we are faithful to him in 2018, oh my goodness, just to hear those words, well done, will be worth it all. And then they say in Revelations that we will just throw our crowns at Jesus' feet, because we are going to realize that we couldn't have done it without him. You're giving us this reward, but there was no way in our own strength and in our own ability we could have done it. And so here, you can have it back, because it was all you. I just showed up. But thank God we show up. Thank God.